Put some linglongs on the Miata?
No, they're Thunderers.
Thunderers, okay.
Thunderers for the rear. From
down underers.
And the front are like Vindrals or Verdrals, but they're designed in Great Britain, made in Ukraine.
That is a weird combo.
You'd think they had other things to do, but they're still making tires.
They make all sorts of stuff, but just is such a weird marketing campaign.
Right, and then why are they shipped all the way to Oregon to sell? The guy told me he bought them at Walmart. I said, oh, okay.
Do you buy them at Walmart or at Walmart.com?
Oh, I don't know.
Have you ever stumbled upon Walmart.com?
You can get anything. It's like Amazon.
Yeah, but like with less rules, I think. Yeah. It's really bad.
You want this live chicken? I'll ship it inside a box.
Shipping is $46.95, same day.
We will find a chicken in your area.
Pick up in store.
Oh, my God.
So Alex put them on there today. They balanced out really fast and really nicely.
Well, small tires.
I know.
That helps, yeah.
But I was able to look at some of the suspension, Miata.
Let me guess, Raceland coilovers?
No. TNs.
Oh, coilover?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Adjustable.
But yeah.
Dampening, not a coil.
Okay.
That dampening.
Dampening. Yeah. Adjustable.
Also coil adjustable.
Right. Yeah, okay, yeah. You can do that too.
Okay.
If you want.
Nope, just dampening.
Just dampening. Yeah.
Doesn't go up and down, just dampening.
But all the bushings were tight and all the control arms were tight and recognized that my rack and pinion is spewing.
Oh, good.
Just a lot.
What year is it?
1990.
90 Miata.
Yep. 1.6 liters of Fury with the bad crank and now slightly more compression. Still not enough, but slightly more.
Well, by bad crank. The crank is fine. It's just that it's the short nose.
Well, yeah. Crank. So the short nose crank, the nose of the crank breaks off.
Yeah.
Which it's makes the crank not fine.
Right. Well, it's not bad now.
Right, right.
It's just not the
potentially
preferred
more likely crank to be bad at some point in the future. Yeah.
Just could be bad.
Yeah.
So
you should put a supercharger on it.
Oh, I was thinking about case swapping it.
That's a great idea.
Well, there's that.
Yeah.
Man. You know what I saw this last week? I don't know what you call these, like a sprint car without a wing, the little ones. Luke, what are those called?
Quarter midgets?
Yeah, maybe
I was gonna say
midgets,
right?
Yeah. I don't know. We
quarter little people.
Call them, bring it up.
Tiny, like go kart size, but with a cage.
Sorry. I don't know if you
how do you adjust the timing on those, Colin?
That really got me.
How do you adjust the timing on what
they're called? Little
calling
people.
Yeah.
yeah, like go kart sized, but with a cage.
I'm looking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Quarter
yeah,
midget.
That's,
okay.
That's
quarter
what
small
they
people
run the.
Is there one size? Is there like
bowl
a half? Is there one above that, or is that the size?
half little people.
No, halfway. I think there's just winged and regular
okay,
sprint cars.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's a Justin question.
Yeah. Well, anyways.
And you're more related to him than any of us now.
Yeah.
True.
There was one at PRI with a K motor in it, like a billet, everything.
Yeah.
Amazing. It looked awesome. Also, I don't know how anybody over 5 feet tall can drive one, but.
Have you ever seen a race car driver?
Yeah, they're all little. They're like jockeys.
They're all like jockeys.
Yep.
Yeah.
Less weight.
What was the.
Weight I'm reduction.
Never, I'm never gonna remember the
speed.
Yeah, the that's what they race at the Chili Bowl. It's a like week long marathon of running those things indoors in like a cattle barn in Tulsa.
Yeah,
and whoever survives the carbon monoxide poisoning the longest wins. Is that what?
Yeah, whoever can breathe the longest wins.
The cows are the audience.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Sure enough. So this company, Four Piston Racing, makes a 2.5 liter midget race engine.
Yeah.
$40,000.
Is that it? Whew.
Fully dressed engine weighs 230 pounds.
Okay.
Wow.
That's not very heavy.
That's crazy. Doesn't say anything about the power, but I bet it's 300-ish. Maybe more. That's cool. It was very cool. Very cool thing. I didn't realize that that's what it had. I just knew it was like a four-cylinder engine place. I walked by it a bunch of times. And then finally they took the like front lid off the car and I was like, whoa, look at that. Here, I'll screen share so you guys can see.
No, I'm looking at K-swap prices.
Just look at it.
That's awesome.
You should put one of these in your Miata.
Man, tilt it over like that, too. Tilt on it, too. Holy cow.
Dang.
Yeah, how many degree angle is that, does it say?
They must do a lot to make oiling happen better. What is happening?
154 cubic inches.
Dang. Yeah, I don't know. Got to call or email Luke at team4piston.com.
Well, that where you're working now, Luke?
Yeah.
It's a side hustle. Course.
It's the side. Just selling K swaps on the side.
Oh, man.
This is it. There it is. Look at it. They're just sitting in there. That's pretty cool.
That might be full sprint.
Yeah, I was wrong. Quarter midgets are little go kart sized ones. Yeah, so these like ones are.
This is just a
quarter midgets are like Briggs and Strattons. So yeah, these are like wingless sprint cars.
Okay.
Sometimes referred to as midgets.
Yeah, I think
little people. Yeah.
I do like
little cars.
How easy it looks like to work on that. Most of the motors stick it out the side.
If you need to work on the top
head,
half,
yeah.
If you got to work on the bottom half,
well, you're done with race. Yeah,
other side.
You're not
going to
do anything below the valves during a race.
Yeah, but you could do below the valves on the exhaust side, but not on the intake side. So,
ITBs. So it's a $6,000 for the full everything you need to do a K swap on a NA
plus an engine.
K Power Industries, and then you add the engine. Yep. Yeah.
Using your stock transmission?
That's using the stock transmission, yep. And then in my case, I would have to upgrade the rear to a 1.8 rear.
Once you blow up your other one.
Yeah, but apparently guys do it with the 1.6. They'll blow up the rear of the 1.6 rear.
Well, you've lived your life with a few Dana 30s in the front.
I sure
35s,
have.
You're fine.
Yeah, what's the worst that could happen, you know?
Blow it up.
Yeah. So it's on the... I'm sure that not buying a kit off of a kpowerindustries.com would probably be cheaper.
I like the Australia term for them better than ours.
What is the Australia term?
They're called speed cars in
Speedka.
Australia.
Oh, Speedka.
I like that.
Speedka.
I like that way more.
Mike got a new tattoo.
Yeah, I got a gratitude.
He got a frog.
It's a gratitude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When'd you get that? Man, I leave for 10 days.
2 months ago?
No.
Yeah, a month and a half ago.
Have I not seen your arm in 2 months?
It's been winter.
That's crazy.
Been wearing a coat, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I showed you, though.
Nope.
No?
First time I've seen it.
Man.
I don't take my shirt off often enough here. You should see what I got on the chest.
We should start changing that. We're going to do the
full bodysuit under his shirt. Yeah.
A full chest piece. No. Yeah, my mom had a tattoo appointment she couldn't make, and she's like, "Does anybody want it?" And I said, "I do."
Is she getting that?
Get this done. No. Nope.
That's the plan the whole time.
She's getting puppy prints and a flower or something. So,
sounds right.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
That's a Teresa move. But, yeah, I liked it. There was one sitting. It was very quick and... You did a really good job.
Yeah. Cool.
No. Yeah.
I like it. Well, we should do a podcast, huh?
Oh.
Bump.
Welcome to the Campfire Passport Podcast.
Let's talk about Nissan.
Mm. And Honda.
And Honda.
And Mitsubishi.
And Mitsubishi.
Okay. Oh, is Mitsubishi in the middle of that too?
Yes, yeah. It is.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I think we should leave.
And Renault.
With our Luke.
Take it away, Luke.
You're the host. You're the host. I have
That's
some
right.
Opinion.
That's why I just passed it over to talking head, Luke.
But you're the host.
Delegation. Yeah.
We brought you in
specifically.
According
to Oh, I see. Well, according to lots of, well, like one news report that then spread everywhere today, Honda and Nissan are reportedly in talks in a merger, which would also involve Nissan's ownership stake in Mitsubishi, and they have tie-ins with Renault and the French government as well.
Oh, darn.
They both denied it by publishing the exact same statement from both sides.
That's helpful.
Copy paste.
Which, yep, just copy paste from one PR department to the next. Nissan has been in some pretty serious financial trouble for a while, and it's really like coming to a head now.
Yeah.
And if you're in Central Oregon, you already, and you have any interest in Nissan product, you've known that for what, close to a year?
Yeah, it's probably been almost a year by now.
Yeah.
It was sometime last winter, I remember. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like last spring that they closed that store. And as a dealership, a brand's been hard to deal with for 10 plus years. So I don't know. It's like the least surprising news to me. I think that, that whole, if you know any of the history of Carlos Ghosn, the guy who they like snuck out of Japan in a suitcase, he was the head of the Renault Nissan group and was accused of like embezzlement or some like tax evasion stuff. And instead of like facing all that stuff, he escaped to Lebanon because he's like Lebanese.
And that's anyway, how you know that.
That's a whole different innocent. Rabbit hole to go down. But when he came into Nissan, Nissan was in a similar situation 20 years ago that they are now. And they hired this guy who had turned around some other companies in other areas and really turned Nissan into something very profitable and like streamlined a lot of the manufacturing and developed a lot of new product. And everything was pretty fresh. If you look at like Nissan from 2003 to 2012.
Yeah.
And then that kind of all fell apart.
Yeah.
And here we are.
So. Here we are.
Well, didn't they just drop the Kick? Didn't they drop the Nissan Kick or something?
The Kicks has been out. I mean, the Kicks is in its second or third generation. It's, you know, it's like a, I don't know, it's like smaller than a CRV. Juke. Yeah, it kind of replaced the Juke, but it's not all-wheel drive.
No, one
it's like notice. Whatever the smaller... Is it an HRV that's smaller than a CRV?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like that size of car. They're, you know, they're not profit centers making those little things. They're volume sellers. They're not loss leaders per se, but they're, you know, big volume stuff gets people in the dealership. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, they tried to redo the Titan. Mm-hmm. And probably poured a couple $1 billion in developing this truck as if they were going to truly compete with Ford and GM and Chrysler, let alone Toyota with 3/4 ton, 1/2 ton plus size pickups, and decided to put a really weird engine in it.
Yeah.
And it's like, it was never as good as its competitors. We were selling both, you know, the Nissan and a Dodge at the same time, and putting them side by side, the Nissan was a more reliable, more well put together product, but it was like everything was 10 years old already, brand new off the lot. And you could say that across the line pretty much with a handful of exceptions. Everything was like, you know, they're using the V6 they still use now as an engine designed in 1993. Which says something about its longevity, but also like there's zero new tech in it, or very little.
I really thought that Z car was going to make a splash. I was talking about this earlier. When it came out, I was stoked about it.
It's a good car.
So excited. It's a great
such
car.
A small part of their portfolio. I don't know if that's
and
where
the
Luke's
thing
going,
they did
but...
is they put a car out that is a good car that's in a kind of a standalone thing, maybe that and Supra in a price bracket that doesn't really exist in sports cars.
Yeah.
because Mustang's gone or is going away. Camaro's gone. Challenger's gone. And a Challenger at that price is a V6 automatic Challenger anyway. But nothing else exists in that market. But what Nissan did was they launched this product, and then maybe a little bad luck with COVID and all that, and their manufacturing and supply lines and all of that. Mm-hmm. They launched it with a lot of fanfare. You know, they get Larry Chen photographing it in Times Square and on the roof of buildings and all this stuff. And it was like, you know, people were really excited about it. And then it took them 2 years to put a car in a dealership.
Yeah. And there's a big delay.
That basically made the Z car flop, dead on arrival kind of deal.
Well, and the numbers on it didn't turn into being that exciting. It's like just a little bit slower than everything that the Toyota does, and it's like
comparable performance wise to a Supra without having another brand's badge underneath the hood.
Right.
I think people in that space probably would like, but it was so late to the game where Supra was already on the road for 2 years. Yeah. Like, and you, or you could get a used Cayman for the same price or something, a used Z4
M2
that didn't have a Nissan badge on it, because all of a sudden Nissan's brand identity has just tanked to where everybody thinks they just sell rental cars with bumpers falling off of them
or Altimas.
Altima's Rogues, because Altima's dead, because nobody makes sedans anymore, and they followed suit. They also didn't really do anything with hybrid. Toyota went heavy on hybrid on their volume stuff. They sell a lot of it. Nissan went real heavy in EV. Pretty much put all their eggs in either EV or full gas, and nothing really in between, or nothing anybody knows about. And Toyota's still going strong. And everybody's backing off of EVs, and Nissan doesn't have anything to fill that gap, as people right now are not buying EVs outside of a couple of brands.
What's the Nissan EV? What are they?
The Ariya is the SUV. The Leaf is a thing that's like a golf cart that was designed again. It was a new car in 20. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was a new car in 2012. You can get one for $200 a month, but it only goes 150 miles.
Yeah.
And has a weird charger that doesn't really adapt to regular chargers.
Yeah. It's just like a string of issues.
Yeah. There's like 100 things that have gone wrong at Nissan for the last 10 years. And
they could have redone the Frontier and it would have been a splash.
Well, they did. I think the Frontier refresh is really nice. It's a pretty, you know, it's a pretty nice truck. I like them. It's got a good engine. But they Toyota's never built a reputation. Yeah, they never built a reputation on the pickup truck that Toyota did.
Yeah,
and they could have, starting with the hard body. They could have like really went ham with the hard body, and then into the next Frontier, or you know, into the first gen Frontier, and then you know the last two iterations. Frontier. They could have like really competed with Toyota and whatever went wrong there, because they decided to sell Altimas.
Yeah,
whatever.
The bread and butter.
Man,
Maxima. Yeah.
I'll tell you, like the last two times I've tried to get a rental car, they've been like, "Oh, we've got an Altima," and I'm like, "Do you have anything else? Literally
anything else?"
Anything and I'll be else. Like, "Do you have a Camry?" Yes, yep. I will take that.
Take that. So, Mike, just for reference, 400 horsepower, 350 foot-pound torque.
Yeah, I mean, they're. I think
the
they're. Z-car.
Yeah, no, I know they're great. So wasn't the wasn't it like 15 under?
Yeah, that's
Supra, like not
on
that they
paper,
were
they're
off.
Great and have a manual gearbox.
Yeah,
and six they speed, also review well. People like them. Yeah, but I think the point that I wanted to make there was like that's like saying that there's two pieces of the puzzle, right? Because it could be the Halo car, the thing that people see and they want.
Yeah,
but also it's like I bet you it's significantly less than 5% of their overall sales.
Yeah.
So like even if they sold all of them. Mm-hmm. There's still shit out of luck. Because
it's a brand identity thing for them.
Yeah, that was the thing for me, though.
Z and GTR are brand identity. They're not about volume sales. Volume sales are, and profit center volume sales in North America are pickup trucks and SUVs. Like Lauren was saying in our group chat, the Xterra, the fact that Xterra never got a revamp after, 2012? When it was due for one, probably hurt them quite a bit.
Yeah, for sure. I think that was a good point. I do think that since I know Lauren will listen to this, my counterpoint that I wasn't going to bring up in the message thread because I wanted to bring it up here is that
good call.
I don't think that other SUVs are hurting right now, though. There's no, like, nobody's upset about the current offerings. I think even though I said the 4Runner is kind of ugly,
necessarily
it's going to
sell. Missing it. It's just that
it could have
been
though.
Another option.
Yeah. And it would have overall increased their sales, which I think would have been good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, another one I would say, you know, Pathfinder is a Murano, a little oversized Murano. And everything on that platform, CVT really hurt them a lot also.
Yeah, they really doubled down on CVT.
Not only do they drive terribly, but their reliability is horrendous.
Yeah.
I mean, in our tiny little store in a small town, you could ask a couple people that we all know that were working on them that would tell you that there wasn't a single day in the last 5 years in that shop that at least one of those gearboxes wasn't torn apart.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Just nonstop.
I'm not coming from a position of like, I don't understand the business concept that they were doing versus sales and all that. I saw so many different opportunities for Nissan to be exciting and to draw people into Nissan. Mm-hmm. And they just keep making these jukes, and they keep making the kicks. They keep making these, like, they're making something that's weird and not exciting, not cool. The Hoonigan crowd is doing commercials for the kicks right now. And, like, the whole thing is, like, it works just as good as the other SUVs. Like, that's it. We're going to take it towards a lake, and we're going to drive it in a city. And you're like, okay, wait a minute. So you made a crossover that's like a really, it can really crossover. And that was the whole thing. Like, they don't have an exciting off-road version. They don't have a
interesting about it.
Yeah. And they have so many opportunities for that. That Z car, I'm going to go back to it 100 times. I was so stoked. I was like, every time something came up on it, I would watch it. Mm-hmm. I'd get excited about it. And then they just stopped producing information about it, and they stopped making videos about it, and they stopped. Mm-hmm. And so then I stopped seeing it.
Yeah.
It's not that I became disinterested and it went away. Not that I could afford one. I just thought it looked really good, and I was excited to hear, you know, how it performed and all that. By the time it came out and they were track testing it on, you know, our favorite YouTube channels, I was like, oh yeah. Where'd that go?
That was a thing.
Why didn't they, you know?
Yeah, they didn't capitalize on it very much.
Some of that's cause and effect. They got to a point where they couldn't sink a bunch of money into Z that's a loss leader from an advertising standpoint when they were already hemorrhaging money in other spots. You know, you're hemorrhaging money on Titan. You're trying to just offload what inventory you have. Yeah. Or you're trying to get people through the door to buy Rogues, which is really where the money's made. And
Z car 41,000 to 54,000.
Yeah, you can get into one at a pretty decent price. You get out of a Miata, you know, that's about where you max out a new Miata spec wise, and you jump from the Miata to Z car.
It's middle edition 5.0 Mustang.
Yeah.
Zone.
Yeah, and also to clarify, S650 is going nowhere, Luke. That's
Mustang staying? I thought Mustang was going.
Yeah,
that
Mustang
GT
has become
was
the
like
brand.
A swan song.
No, they pretty much have all their eggs in that basket. And also, there's some weirdness there, I think, too. But you're right. It's like in that spot.
Well, and that's the only thing left.
Yeah. I mean, that is a weird little dry spot because there's above that, there's some things. Mm-hmm. And below it, there's some things.
Yeah.
But in the middle is a little weird. Might have been different 10 years ago.
Matt Farah talks about it all the time, that there's, like, outside of Miata, because Supra is going away, Mustang and Miata are it in the under $80,000, which is a big number.
The 8.6.
The what?
The 8.6 and the BRZ.
That's fine. You can forget
about that. Okay, sorry. I forgot about those weird Subaru things. But they sell
like crazy.
Yeah, they do.
They're a great price point, too.
Yeah. Put Miata in there too. I forgot about
put
86 BRZ in there. I forgot about that. But
It is a weird one. This is not news that would surprise anybody. But if you didn't pay attention when the Nismo one came out, Mike, they went DCT only or auto only. I forget which
it's
one
auto.
It is.
Yeah,
I think it's auto.
Yeah,
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's gotten some complaints too. Not because, so it's like all of them, it's faster and all this stuff, but it is a car that is a little bit under, you know, like the stats aren't great already. So it's not going to be the fastest car. So optimizing the lap time by a second became a point where a bunch of journalists were like, why are we doing this? Why did we not just put a 6-speed in it so we could enjoy it more?
Yeah. Follow the Miata platform, which is have fun with the car. It's not winning 0-60 times. It's not winning this and that.
Yeah.
Make it the most fun it could be.
There was, it might have been Matt Hardigree. He's on Motor One, right? He's the editor of Motor One.
It's a great question.
Anyway, when they did their like Japan month a couple months ago, he wrote a whole thing that was like the ethos of Miata from like Mazda's standpoint. And it was really interesting that they're like, nobody cares about lap times. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares. Like, it's about like the enjoyment of it's the driving experience is like the entire ethos.
What is the, it's like the horse and the rider are one. Yeah.
And like, I wish more brands would focus on that rather than like what I get, like GTD, GT3 RS, like what's your Nürburgring time, but like most of us don't care.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Matt Hardigree is of the Utopian, by the way.
Who's it Motor One?
I don't know.
A bunch of stuff came out because the new Miata just dropped today.
What?
Next generation. I don't think it's anything like earth shattering, but
sorry, audience.
I'm going to need some evidence.
Furiously
on that
typing
one.
Away, trying to find a source for Mike.
Yeah, I'm going to need a source for that.
Reckless speculation. Reckless speculation.
It's
if
not,
that's not a title of an episode, I don't know.
They just dropped it. It was on Instagram,
like on Mazda's Instagram or something.
No, it was somebody at like a Mazda event.
Next gen Mazda MX-5 will be electrified in 2026.
Yeah.
But it looks like it's the same car. It's just that they're having an electric version or maybe a partially electric.
I don't think they're going to do it on that platform. I think this platform will go out with the new car. Well, I think the new car will be an all new car.
I think it's not all electric either. I think it's like a mild hybrid to fill in the mid-range stuff.
Price in the neighborhood of $33,000.
Yeah,
sounds about right.
Yeah,
that's a neighborhood I could live in.
That's one of those when like actual publications come out with it, I'll maybe dip my toes in that.
Yeah,
not Instagram guys.
I only trust Instagram guys. That's where I get all my news.
Well, I'm looking at this on Motor Trend, and it says that they're likely to develop EV, but the weight of the battery and the size of the chassis itself, they fear it would hurt its performance too much because of just like what you were talking about, their ethos of the Miata.
Yeah.
So it's more likely that it will just be it'll be a hybrid of some kind, but not necessarily full EV because of those reasons. So, which I can get behind.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be in this chassis. I think maybe they used a picture of this current car as a filler for an article.
But, yeah, I think that's what it is.
So I was going to say that the current car they just relaunched with like upgraded diffs and electronics like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
But anyway, I would say the Nissan news is not entirely surprising. No. Japanese government has some like financial interest in Nissan, so they're not just going to let it like die. I think there's too many stakeholders, the French government as well. So I think it's only, I think it's probably the best move to find a stakeholder that's also Japanese to maybe do some house cleaning there or whatever. I don't know, but kind of sad. It's a brand I've always had a thing for, but that's like Honda, so whatever.
Yeah, you could eventually get a K swapped from the factory Z car.
Well, I don't work for any of them anymore, so I can get whatever I want. I just,
I'm just saying.
I only buy Honda power equipment, so.
Yeah.
Oh, well, hey, that's a smart move.
It'll last.
Yeah. Well,
no electric lawnmowers for me, Mike.
I just want to know what they do. I want to know what they're going to come out with as their first joint thing that says.
Oh. I bet we won't even.
Hopefully,
notice.
It's a new S2000.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean
that slash like
I could get it.
Datsun Roadster
2000.
Yeah, S2000 cool. Slash Datsun Roadster.
I would love that. I've just not any bit
that.
Of my. Breath.
Yeah, I wouldn't. There's no holding your breath for it, but it'd just be nice to
absolutely.
Have that back.
Yeah, I'm just
that was the only thing that was like as close as you could get to a Miata while
with
not
some
getting
power.
A Miata
with some extra power. Yeah.
Maybe a little better, maybe a little worse. Yeah. I don't know, but you know, it's right there next to it.
I'd say it's better in almost every category except for. Enjoyment. Well, everybody. So I bought a Miata recently, and so I've been watching and looking, doing all kinds of stuff. And that's been the clash is the Miata and the S2000. And there's like objectively everything about the S2000 for its generation versus the generation Miata it was against, which is like the NB stuff and into the beginning of the NC stuff. Objectively, everything about the S2000 is better.
Yeah, it's basically all the like a Ferrari compared to a Miata.
But every single person that did a review side by side was like, you know what, though? I think I would probably take the Miata.
They're all fucking crazy.
Yeah. But it's just more fun.
I have a Miata. I would have had one then, and I have one now.
I've had a lot of them.
Man.
I've never had an S2000, but...
They feel special. Miatas are awesome. There's no... Like, I would never dog on a Miata at all. I think they're fantastic, but it's like...
Except for the NC.
It's too...
Even the NC, I drove
two
one.
Different things. They're like not even. It's like a.
It is a slightly different spectrum, but
I mean,
like
it's
the same.
The concept is similar,
yeah.
But it's just like that digital gauge cluster is so you know all the stuff, the interior quality and like.
Oh yeah,
I mean, it had a red start, a push to start button in when it came out. Like that is
digital
that
gauge
like
cluster
spaceship
and
stuff.
A red start button is like a Ferrari.
That's right. That's pretty much the only thing that sets a Ferrari.
I drive a lot of them,
car.
And those are two defining features.
And then add a third
other
one
that,
in.
Camry.
Third Ferrari thing, 9,000 RPM red light.
I know, I was going to say. They revved them in.
Three out of three.
Yeah.
It's basically a Japanese Ferrari. Ferrari.
Yeah. It's like instead of the.
Who needs an
NSX? Instead of the 599, it's a 199.
Yeah.
That's also the price.
Yeah.
Well, should we talk about trucks instead?
Yeah, let's talk about trucks.
Oh, mid-size or full-size?
Well, let's see. Uh-oh. I'm trying to devise a plan on how I want to do this while Sean's making noise over there.
Dunk, 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 dunk.
Should I start? So I have three vehicles for us to review here.
Oh, ooh, okay.
For would you pay money for this?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to start with the oldest or start with the cheapest?
Cheapest.
Okay. All right. So
we need a theme song for this, Mike.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. How are you?
Do
you
writing
have
jingles?
Money? Would you pay it for that? Bow. And that's it.
All right.
That's
so.
Not bad, actually. I don't hate that. let's work on that.
We'll workshop it. Yeah.
Workshop that. All right. So we've got a 2000 Land Rover Discovery 2.
Of course you do.
Stock
Disco 2. I'm partial, obviously. I'm the Land Rover guy here. 2000, but here's the thing. This thing's not that special. It's 100%
green
like
wheels.
Normal. Yeah, green steely wheels.
But isn't it a green truck and they don't match?
No, it's black.
Oh, okay.
That's a black truck.
Yeah. From
shadows.
Reflection of the
so what this has going on though is that it has 50,000 miles.
That seems like more of a problem
Which,
than a benefit
yeah,
on one of those.
Super low miles, but that just means that the head gaskets have never been done on it, which is not great.
And they've just been sitting there
so,
stewing.
It is overall pretty clean. It's got
it
a little
calls
bit
it
of a.
Close to a barn find.
Yeah.
That's also scary.
A little bit of a.
They found it near
seat
a barn?
Issue. On the driver's seat, which isn't, you know,
it's all right.
This is my, I love that 3.9 liter produces a whole 182 horsepower
oh boy.
And gets 13 miles to the gallon. But the bright side is it never gets worse than 13 either.
That's right.
It's always.
Like the Ford 460
it's always,
thing.
It's always 13, believe me. Undersides, very clean.
Looks like it, yeah.
rattle can
interior restoration. Is really clean. Here's the problem. Because it has 50,000 miles, they think it's worth $26,500.
Oh my God.
Has it always been in Florida?
Yes.
Oof. No. Yeah. Mm-mm.
This really bugs me. Like Florida. That because it's a low mile, it's a completely plain, like there's, like I said, absolutely nothing special about this vehicle. But because it's got 50,000 miles, it's $26,000 when you could get in, you could get one of these in just as nice a shape with 100 to 150,000 more miles than that for $3,000 to $6,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do not get that like concept of how the low miles somehow bumps the price to like $20,000.
Are they doing like the Corvette guys do, which is like, this is the only one produced in 1991 on May 5th that is red. That has this shift knob, and then if you wear your cutoff jorts and your New Balances, you can sit in it.
There you go.
Is it like that, or is it like nobody was ordering them plain like this, so we painted the wheels poorly?
It's just that it's in good shape and has 50,000 miles. Yeah.
Owned by an old man that never drove it.
Yeah, 80-year-old owner. He's the second owner now with 50,000 miles on it. List of maintenance and repairs or upgrades, over 25,000. Okay, well, you're not going to get that back.
No.
For one, nope. Like,
yeah.
And his last Rover dealership service was at 30,000 miles.
Including a head gasket.
That has had head coolant
flush.
Okay. Well,
that shows some reliability problems.
No. That ups the,
I mean, that does mean you might have 100,000 miles where you don't have to worry about it, but.
What year is it?
2000.
2000. So here's the thing. We've had this argument a little bit before. I think that there is a point where low mileage is worth a lot of money. And it's worth it for somebody that's not us. It's worth it for a collector or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, that is like...
single digits.
It's sub 10,000.
Oh, yeah.
It's sub 20,000 like as a stretch, but it's sub 10,000 for sure. 5,000 mile Disco 2, 25 grand. I'm like, okay, but I wouldn't buy it. But there might be some value there because it's showroom fresh in quotes or whatever. But...
yeah.
50,000 miles is just a low mileage driver.
Yeah.
It's really not that special.
Yep.
There is some special to it, but I don't, like, to me, I would not pay money for that. I would pay $2,500 for that all day long. But 25 grand.
26.
26 grand. Mm-hmm. I just did a little quick bring a trailer, and there's a 98. Discovery two-door 300 TDI 5-speed that went on Bring a Trailer.
That's a Disco 1, yeah.
Yep, I know. It's like the last of the one. I realize that's why I asked the year. But yeah. So, last of the Disco 1, really cool, in America, rare spec, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's really cool. 78,000 miles, went for $13,500.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, exactly. I would rather have two of those for the same price.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, if somebody was asking 10, 11... and it was that low of miles, and they could put it up at a dealership probably. You could probably get that from somebody's aunt who's not really
who's
sure.
Who's going to drive it about as much as the first owner did.
Yep. And then that's fine.
Oh, but here's
20 grand, I would not pay money for that.
No.
Here's another one. 31,000 mile, 04, Discovery 2 HSE, fully loaded, beautiful green, 22,
like the color of the wheels.
5.
Yeah.
So even cheaper.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Even less miles. That's just too much.
All right, well, what do you say, Luke?
No.
I was waiting for it. Yeah, I actually think it's a good deal.
No. No, but I...
that's full nose.
I thought the game was like, we're not negotiating here. It's just yes or no.
No, you're right.
So, yeah,
so the premise of the game is...
it's a Florida car, so no. And two, for that kind of money, I can get something far, far nicer.
Yeah, far
and
better.
Newer and better. That like... yeah, Land Rovers are supposed to drive across Africa, but for 26 grand, I can get one that's nicer to drive across Africa.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You buy all kinds of LR3 for that money.
Oh, yeah. I would.
And LR4.
Or an LR4.
For that matter.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Next one.
Next one. We've got a 93 F250.
Ooh, okay. I'm in.
Service bed. with a 73 Alaskan pop top on it.
I almost got one of those before I got the four-wheel camper.
Oh, I love these. There's a local one that I see at the mountain at least once a year.
Pretty cool. It's very simple, very stock. So obviously it's going to need some stuff because it's just, it's an old truck.
Too. Not difficult to modify them.
So 203,000 miles. So this, my one gripe with this article here is the F-250 with the 7.3 motor is a legendary and desirable choice. This is a 93.
Oh, it's an IDI.
This is an IDI. This is not the legendary 7.3 that he thinks that this person that wrote the article thinks it is, which you would think the people on Expedition Portal would have that figured out.
Is it a Banks turbo version? Do they have...
It does have a turbo conversion on it.
Okay. That's helpful, but still,
it's not a power stroke. No. Yeah. This is an IDI with, I believe that's a ATS. I think that's what that in manifold says there.
Okay.
Never gets mentioned in the article at all. I mean, interior
seems important.
Pretty clean.
Looks nice.
You know, is the service bed's in pretty good shape. He's got his little diesel heater stashed away in one of the bins there. You
smart
know?
Move.
It's got 400 watts of solar, 2,000.
I don't even need to say price on this. I'm in.
You're in?
Yeah, I've already.
Freshwater, 20
gallons.
If this
is an active listing, you might not want to show it to Mike.
Here's the thing. I just blew all my money out of Miata.
Yeah. Still got a Jeep.
So this is listed for $39,995. Mm-hmm.
That's too much money, but I still want it.
Turbo would be good for the high altitude, Sean.
I think I'm a no on it.
Really?
As much as I love an OBS, I don't think I want a service bed. I don't want an IDI.
And you don't want chicken wings.
I'm fine with chicken wings. I'm fine with a big long travel TTB.
Not at this price.
You know, shout out to Carrot Customs. I just want to drop this off at him and say, hey, buddy.
Put your shit on it and let me go.
Put a Duramax in it if you want. I don't know.
Yeah. But here's the thing is you could get one. You could probably find one for less than 40 and then do the same thing.
Those campers are so cool.
It's nice. It is cool. Like, it's a very... retro, it's cool.
I almost picked one of those up before we got the four-wheel camper, and they're rad, but they are getting old.
Yeah, it's
and
old.
The parts and pieces in them are wear items in a way you wouldn't expect. So each one that we looked at two different Alaskans, and like everybody has a 4x4 post that they lay down, and they push it up, and then they pop it up, and they use the 4x4 post to hold everything in place.
Oh, I don't want that.
So that you can't get it, so it doesn't fall on you while you're sleeping. And, like, all different things. And I was like, it's just too rough. Because Haley and I were like, we could redo one of these. We can make it really cool. So, not that that's the condition this is in, but...
Yeah, it seems this one...
Are there any shots inside the camper?
I didn't see any.
That's annoying.
Unfortunately, yeah. And let me...
I bet it's OG.
Let's take it further. We'll go to his actual post. Forum. Maybe we'll see.
Oh, is that a YouTube video?
That's a dang old YouTube video.
Dang!
And it is. So it's a factory.
Okay.
So it's a Ford bolt-on ATS turbo.
Yeah.
Oh, and he's dropped the price down to $37,900.
It's still for sale now. Oh, good.
All right.
So let's see if there are any...
We'll trade for JK Jeep.
Well, now that you mention it.
Okay.
Scroll, interesting scroll, trades scroll, scroll. Considered.
Scrolling, 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 scrolling. Man, I'm getting close to the bottom and I still haven't seen anything inside.
It's just got a cool vibe to it.
It does.
I'm
it's
very
like a,
into
like
it.
Like all the vibes are there. I just, it's just, it's not quite the right one for me to say I'd pay money for this.
I'm in the same boat.
I'm
I would,
still in.
Having had what I've had, no interior pictures.
Nothing inside.
That means it's original. That means it's in this.
Yeah,
like,
I think
it's probably cleaned, but like outside, considering the rest of the truck.
Yeah,
but yeah, it doesn't. There's
hit that YouTube video.
Hit that YouTube video, boy.
Come on,
pull that up, Jamie.
Cancel. Yeah.
Let's see if they do a little tour inside with the video.
Oh, there it is. There it is.
Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Let's see.
Hit full screen, Colin. Come on.
I mean, that thing is, yeah, it's I mean, not, that's original,
no.
Clean, but original.
Very
yeah.
Period.
There needs to be pictures in that. That should have been photographed, because that's in good enough shape that you shouldn't be.
Yeah, it's not terrible.
Good. Yeah. That's not, like, hidden shape. I was thinking they were hiding it because it was full of
bucket.
Rat shit.
Yeah.
I mean, it says that it's rot-free. and whatnot, like in the ad.
Yeah.
Look at the sconce. Beautiful nice sconces. Sconce.
Yeah.
Oh, that is
period correct.
Really something. That she's a beaut, Clark.
There's an RV.
I can only imagine what it smells like in there.
We're gonna just take it with us.
Full
70s
in there.
It is yeah. Cigarettes and gin.
You know yeah. exactly the smell.
Mm-hmm. Musky. I still love it.
Upgraded the fan. I like the camper. I mean, having had what I've had, I would not do that. I would not pay money for that.
I would love to show this podcast to Mike of 2 years ago.
No. He wouldn't listen to you.
No, he would not.
Mm-mm.
I didn't say that.
Nope. I'm not saying I wouldn't have my setup again.
Ah,
I would just do it, this one. I would do it differently.
Got it.
But that's even heavier than a four-wheel camper.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That setup with the service bed is way heavier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay. I'm, put the coilovers on it. Swapping a better motor, put another $40,000-$50,000 into it.
Yeah,
just be great, and it still wouldn't go around the places I really want to go.
Yeah,
lifting tires around the corners because.
All right, so here's the last one. I think this one's going
to
be the.
For the record, no, I would not pay. It's cool.
Oh yeah, we forgot to ask Luke.
Yeah, I was the only one.
It's very cool, but no.
Yep, I think this one's going to be the crowd pleaser. If I'm being honest.
Okay, what if you're lying?
But I'm not. I just said I was being honest.
Oh, well, you said if you're being honest. I didn't know.
Well, here we go. 23 Gladiator Rubicon.
Okay.
Which is a, kind of a meh start.
Okay.
No offense, Luke.
Come on.
It's just, when it's just, that's the start. 23
well, one of us had Jeep to be Gladiator the first Rubicon. Across the Rubicon Trail.
It's just come one on. Of those, like, the starting of that isn't as exciting. Isn't as exciting as, say, an F-250 that's got an Alaskan camper in it, right? The title is a little, okay.
All right.
So here we are.
Tray bed.
It's got a tray bed.
Why is it so tall?
Well, Sean.
Because it's on portals.
Those are 38s, just so you know.
Okay.
They look very small on there.
That thing, yeah, looks like it needs...
And there's a reason.
Much more tire.
I saw the word 74 weld.
Okay. Yeah, it's portals. On portals. Yeah. That's
so it's
what
on
I
portals.
Yeah.
So this sucker has got 74 weld portals. It's got a tray bed with a big old, with the full straight out of freaking four-wheel drive 24/7 drop-down kitchen on one side and knows what else on the other side. GFC camp, well, the tent
RTT.
not the actual camper because of the tray bed with the little box deal. Yep. It needs bigger tires, if
it
I'm
needs
being
42s.
Honest.
Yeah,
for sure.
Those tires look really small.
It needs 42s.
They work like, no lift.
Like, they look like 31s.
Yeah. Davinson remote Sonnet. And
sure, those are 38s?
Those
That's
are 38s.
Crazy.
I opened a picture and zoomed in to make sure.
Really?
Oh my
god. Because they look so tiny.
They look like
35s. Yeah.
That's like 35s with 10 inches of lift.
Yeah.
It looks like my Jeep did when I picked it up.
It does.
Yeah.
It's the 3.6.
Roller
skates. Just the V6 in it still.
But it is geared down
the
thanks
diesel.
To the portals.
Yep. So that helps. Heated leather seats, all that stuff. Here's the not camp free or camp kitchen side. So it's all his power setup and compressor and a bunch of switches and all that jazz.
Not Red Arc, but kick ass.
Power. Another, picture at the front. Still got the front sway bar disconnect on there,
Okay.
And we're going to get down here.
Some odd choices there.
It's got heat treated axle shafts. For some reason, they made it an 8-lug conversion. One
ton
hubs.
Like three times now with the 74.
Well,
because
those axles are one of the ones with the orange CV covers.
RCB?
RCBs, yeah.
So how come it has 3.88 inches of lift, not just 4?
That's the portals.
Why not 3.5?
So it
Why not
doesn't something? Have lift other than the portals.
That's portal
which doesn't make
it, that doesn't
it
make
seems
any
really
sense because I've seen these on
that.
Like you've seen the JL like 392s on 40s and these and they look perfect. Like they don't look awkward at all.
This
goofy as hell.
This has to have more lift than that, I think. I mean, it says that the portals
it does. It
do
it's got a 2.5 inch kit
plus
too.
Two engines.
That's why.
Yep. Exactly. So that's what it is. So it's got too much lift for how little tire it has.
Yeah, that's
if we're being honest with each other. There's the front. Mike's going to walk out. Fridge in the back seat.
Yep.
Instead of in the canopy, which, okay, you know, it's got a full goose gear thing back there. Another shot of the fancy axles and stuff.
Yeah.
A shot of how obviously small the tires are. And the thing that I saw was that it does not come with the tent or the canopy portion of the tray bed.
Oh.
And,
what's the price?
And we are at $72,000.
Well, it's $20,000 in Portal.
Right, yeah.
Plus a 23. I mean, it's probably, I don't want to say it's cheap. It's probably fairly priced. I look at this, though, and I think this is the thing Luke might be thinking, because he's making a lot of noises over there. It is a lot of really good parts thrown into a bucket. And like, somebody threw them into the bucket. They shook them all up. And this is what they came out with. And if you read the spec list, I'd be like, yeah, this thing's sick. But I'm looking at it, and I'm just like, man, I don't know if that's how I would have done it. I kind of like, there's a bunch of stuff I like. I like the ARB bumper. I like the tray bed. I like all the different things. I love the portals. But as like as a whole, it's not great.
Yeah, it didn't all come together as good as they may have hoped, I think.
I think this is a money doesn't buy taste scenario.
Yes.
Yeah. What do you think, Luke? Let's hear what all that grumbling's about.
Portals make trucks drive like forklifts, so I don't want that. Because I'm going to drive it a lot. I mean, I drive mine half the year.
Yeah.
And so I would say no to portals. I like the bed box, but then like some choices were made, like putting the fridge on a Goose Gear platform. Why not just have seats?
Yeah, because you got that whole
and put your fridge canopy. In
you got the
back.
Whole canopy stick it in the back. So
I don't care for that bumper. I like the little stubby, but that's like that's a pretty easy choice anybody could make there. That's not a big deal. I do like that bed box thing, but I don't know that I love it. I kind of like my setup. So I don't know. I agree. It seems like somebody wrote a check and said throw a bunch of stuff at this.
Let's
kind of see what sticks. And there's a bunch of stuff I don't think it's as good as the sum of its parts.
No.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing.
That's a good way to put it for
sure. I think this is $120,000 of stuff. So it's like, it's funny because it's not a deal again, but it's like a price where you're like, yeah, that probably makes sense. But man, I just look at that and I'm like, I don't know.
There's certainly more into it than what it's priced.
Oh, yeah.
How many miles?
40, total retail build cost was 95, plus the sticker on the truck puts it 150. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, that I almost believe it, or at least it like
I do.
Parts
yeah.
and labor, but it's not.
Yeah. 60,000 without the dirt box configuration and tent.
Oh, so okay.
Without
it's an
either
or situation.
Without the canopy piece.
I mean, honestly, at that price, well, those are probably 20,000 too. So
15, yeah, something.
Yeah, the tent.
I also
five,
prefer the six, diesel but over the gas, but
yeah, that's sure. The other thing is, it's just it's the gas, so it's kind of like.
Also, man, 23 versus 24, you don't get that better screen and all that good stuff, and now it's aged a tiny bit.
It's aged.
How many miles are on it?
Yeah, that's what I ask. Is it more or less than
sub 10,000?
Yeah,
with just
single digits,
2,950 miles.
I figured.
So yeah, so this 100%.
Oh, it's brand new.
Checkbook. Yeah. They put it together and they probably didn't like it.
Oh, it turns
for
out
that
really
kind
like
of money,
camping.
Well, because they added a bunch of weight to it and didn't put a Hemi, you know, didn't Hellcat swap it or something.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which is really.
Yeah, they put 20,000 in portals instead of into an engine.
Putting that much stuff onto that engine, I think is overdoing it.
This is a Hellcat swap and 42s away from being pretty great.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That's exactly.
At that point, it's very going. Interesting.
I mean, you've already spent this $148,000 total. What's
bump that up to
$250,000? Yeah, what's another 50 to 100?
You go find a 392 that's been rear-ended.
Give it the heavy, Ron.
Heavy, Ron.
Yeah, that was
so. Yeah, so I'm a no.
I'm also a no.
I'd take some parts off it, but as a whole,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I think I'm a yes with a caveat.
You were gone for the whole time?
You can't have a caveat.
No, I know. Well, I would just modify. I would just continue to modify it. It needs to be different. I think that at the $72,000 mark, if I was in a position to pay money for that, I would, and then I would do better.
I think I would say, hey, I'll give you 50 for it. You keep all your garbage, and I'll take the truck with the portals and the tray bed.
Because
end of story.
I would. You do the 72,000.
You keep your
35s. Keep those 35s.
See, here's what I was thinking.
That are 38s,
right?
But okay.
You do exactly like Sean's saying. You buy it. You take the portals off.
Oh no! I'm keeping them on.
No, you
my
take
42s.
The portals off.
I take that 2-inch lift off is what I do.
And you sell them to put the and you keep the 38s and you Hellcat swap it. Yeah. You get 15 grand for, you know, 10 grand used for those portals. And now you've got tires that fit correctly. And you can run around as you are for now. And then you put in a right motor.
Yeah.
I think for the box and for all the other stuff, I don't think I can get into it for cheaper.
I think the move would be sell the tires and the 2-inch lift and put 40s on it. 40s, 42s.
42s, you can't lose.
Keep it going.
Enough. I just saw a post by someone that they just released the 42-inch trail grappler in a 17-inch wheel instead of 20s only. That's kind of cool. They look awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of tire.
I'm not getting them, but they're awesome.
That's a big tire.
That's a big tire. That's a lot of sidewall. That's like
it's the old 37s on 15s.
15s, yeah.
Yeah.
Foot of sidewall.
And notoriously heavy tire, too. Right?
I mean, at 42, they're all heavy.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
They're splitting hairs at that point. They're all going to weigh about 100 pounds.
Well, but
plus
a 37-inch trail grappler versus a 37-inch BFG, the trail grappler, if I remember correctly, is like 15 pounds heavier.
Might be. I don't know. Load maybe rating the, for load rating.
Maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe compared to the 6-ply BFG.
If you do 8s to 8, I think they're probably within 10
pounds. But
also, pounds.
The BFG is not actually a 38.
Tiny little 36
and a half.
It's a little guy.
Yeah. So
we went and got Christmas trees, you and I,
mm-hmm,
two weeks ago.
We did. Yeah.
Yeah. And sorry, I missed you.
Parked my vehicle at home and I forgot about it. And I went on a trip.
Forgot about
and
what,
I
the went tree?
The truck, not the tree. Oh. The tree is up in the house, luckily.
Tree
and
the
before I came tonight, I realized that my tires are at 15 PSI, and they've also been sitting for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Little flat spots.
Little flat spotted.
Sean, you already knew this, but Mike and Colin, you'll be happy to know that I, too, went and got a Christmas tree in the snow.
He went snow wheeling.
Whoa. Holy cow. Was it deep enough that you had to air down, or did you just like,
no,
street pressure?
No, it's just, yeah.
Yeah, he's
street pressure.
Doesn't have to do that.
Used a little low range for you know a couple hundred yards, but yeah, I did in fact go snow wheeling.
Wow,
I'm proud of you.
Look at you.
He's ready. Get ready, buddy. Month and a half, we're going snow wheeling.
We're like, get ready, Sean. You're going by yourself.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, and then calling me and be like, Luke, I'm stuck.
Come help me.
Let me find you the number for Matt's off-road recovery. I'm not coming.
Sean will be up there digging himself out with a plate again.
Okay, so 35-inch trail grapplers are 10 pounds heavier than 35-inch KO2s.
Load rating for load rating?
Yep, same.
Yeah, that seems right.
So
they're heavy.
Yeah, that was the only thing I was trying to remember.
But also, what's the actual measured size?
Ooh.
Because I'll bet you the trail
I bet
grappler
bigger. Yeah.
Actually measures 35, whereas the KO2 measures, you know, 33 and a half, maybe 34.
On a good day. Little baby tires.
Little cute tires. All right, what else did we have? We had, do we want to talk about stupid front back Jeep that's not stupid anymore?
Oh, man. Yeah,
I'm so, so glad.
Or do we want to talk about
I think that's good.
The Series 3.
Was this Fred's thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
No, it's like a Motor Trend project. I think it was actually like Rick Payway.
It was a magazine project. Yeah, Rick Payway did it.
And then Fred had it and took it on a...
on a UA?
A UA before it was unreal. It was Ultimate.
Just the Ultimate. It wasn't unreal. It was real.
It was real. When it was the front back thing that was...
Yeah.
So
basically,
stupid. Okay.
Basically, every YouTuber's wet dream now.
I don't watch car YouTube, you know.
Well, that's essentially what it was, but it was before the YouTube days.
Oh.
So, that's what I'm saying. Like, at the time, that, like, if someone on YouTube built that now, it would be, they'd be the talk of the town for YouTubers. Like, that's what the Onyx build challenge turned into for some of those guys.
Yeah, I think
is
so.
They just built something stupid that has that it's not in any way practical in the sense that it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
YouTube people, man.
I'm sorry. I have to interrupt us for 1 second. I just saw Mike's chat message that said, gotta pee. Yeah. I thought it just came through and I was like, what? You already went. Sorry. Go ahead.
Nope. That was before. And it didn't have very good usable space.
No,
it didn't have, nothing about it was better except that if you parked behind it, you didn't know if it was going to be in drive or reverse. Like,
kinda.
Well, originally,
it didn't look very convincing from the back.
It wasn't convincing, but
originally it was better.
If you squinted from a few hundred yards away,
you'd double take it.
Yeah.
You'd give the old double take.
Because the original build concept was it had two front axles, a front axle in the front and a front axle in the back, and it had steering, and it had all the other parts and pieces and all that, but it just looked I thought it looked dumb.
It screams SEMA build.
Yeah.
But every time I saw it, I would just be like,
YouTube
God,
build,
you guys just are under some sort of contract to be driving this ridiculous thing, aren't you?
Well, what's so frustrating is it did UA so many times.
Oh, a bunch of times.
Just fine. It was actually really good at doing the Jeep stuff. It just never looked.
Jeeps work well.
Right.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
I thought
that was the least simple,
honestly,
simple Jeep.
Yeah. I didn't know anything about it other than I hated the way it looked until I stumbled across the video where Dave Chappelle takes it and he starts talking about what it's got. And I was like, really? It's got all that? It's got those Dynatrack 60s under it. Mm-hmm. It's got Hydro Assist, all this stuff. No idea.
And
I thought
front suspension twice. So
I thought it was basically bone stock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I just didn't pay attention,
but he built a really
cool
bed on
it. Transfer case and transmission.
Yeah,
yep, yeah. He built a cool bed.
But yeah,
Dave
turned it into a pretty decent looking Jeep truck.
It's like a modern Brute.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was okay. Did you? I don't keep up enough on his stuff. It's way down my list of things to watch. Usually, I saw a YouTube or an Instagram post that said that he sold it.
Yeah.
Is there a video about that?
He finished the top. So he made it so that it has the
Sunrider.
Isn't that the Sunrider top, the soft top that can flip open?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So it's
it fits where the freedom panels go.
It fits, but it's not it's perfect, but that's not what he was going for either. He was just I just want to make it so that there's less wind and
most of the snow stays outside.
That was kind of all it was. And when in the video afterwards, when he's driving it, you can kind of see, some light, some spots that didn't quite seal all the way up. But
to be fair, it was going to California.
Yeah, yeah. What he was what he did to make it all fit was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then he drove it all the way to California for this guy that apparently works at Milestar.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Who already had two Jeeps and apparently had to have this one. So.
Sure. And you know what?
He had a TJ and a JK.
Down there, it doesn't really matter how well
or might
the
have been a
top
JL.
Seals.
I
think it was a JK. The white one?
Yeah, I think the white one might have been a JL.
Yeah.
Which means that he's got the trifecta now. He just needs a YJ.
One of each.
And then a CJ. So he can have all of them. But it was funny because Dave was like, oh, he doesn't have a serious
rock crawler.
Yep. And he shows up and he's got a TJ that's probably on 37s.
Was it TJ or an LJ?
It was a TJ.
Okay.
And then there was a, and then the JL that's probably on 37s, maybe 38s in stock. He's like, well, He doesn't have any serious wheelers.
He goes, he said something about like pulling into a Jeep parking lot or something like that. Yeah.
It's like, well, I didn't know he had all these, but okay.
Okay. Well, I sold it.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's better than
it
was.
I think it's much better.
And it did yet another UA, which is cool. And yeah, I think Dave did a pretty decent job. The bed turned out really cool.
I'm always surprised by the way that he does things, because he's like, well, I kind of like to just do it. And you're like, he didn't draw anything. He didn't write mm-hmm. anything down. He didn't. He goes, well, we're going to hold this here and
he also
trace that.
And did the all those pieces in aluminum.
Yeah.
After he didn't want to do it in aluminum.
He's like, I hate aluminum. I don't like working with aluminum.
I've got aluminum, so I guess I'm going to use it.
That's great.
So he made all these panels out of aluminum, and it's like, mm-hmm. oh, okay, well.
And the plexiglass rear window, and he mm-hmm. did a lot of work, but.
It's cool, Rick.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's weird.
Yeah.
But it's cool. Yeah.
But it's less weird than it
was. It is definitely less weird.
Significantly less weird.
Significantly less weird.
That's so good.
But
you know?
It's still not as cool as Nate's Series 3.
Yeah. Speaking of things that Luke doesn't know anything about, I just watched his most recent video
when he took
snow wheeling.
Yeah.
Like the second time he snow wheeled it on video, or third time actually, because there was like the one time where they tested it.
Yeah.
The second time where they went out with the Jeep. With the gnarly, like the gnarly BC snow wheeling kind of setup. Mm-hmm. I know it's not in BC, but like it's those same things, 46s and a 500 horsepower LS or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watch this new one where he goes out with his buddies and those tires work.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
And it's like lighter, obviously. Everybody
yeah,
knows
so
that.
Tiny and light.
God,
he turned
so cool.
around on the trail. He goes, oh, this is kind of cool. And he's like, I know being this short of a wheelbase is not convenient for a lot of things, but, as he's turning around in the trail, on the trail, without having to go off the trail. I'm like, wow, okay. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But he was down to like 1.5 PSI pressure with no bead locks. And was like, just
you
fine.
Screen share so Luke can see.
That's what I'm pulling up right now.
Yeah.
It's a good looking rig.
It's cool. And it's...
There we go.
Volkswagen diesel powered.
No, it's not. No. That's
no.
Land Rover.
It's Land Rover? Oh.
Yeah.
Didn't. No, his TJ was Volkswagen diesel powered.
Correct.
And so is the Samurai.
Correct.
There, okay. But it's the Land Rover TDI.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. So that used to confuse me too, because they say TDI. And I'm like, oh, it's Volkswagen. And you were like, no, it's
nope,
not.
Other companies can say TDI too.
I'd like him to stop. It confuses me.
But yeah.
Well,
this
I don't
thing
know
is,
anything about Land Rovers.
It's just this little shorty deal. And because he's got the cab, the truck cab on it now, like it just looks so hilarious. It's, but yeah,
that's a great sponsor,
inch.
The heartbeat of America. the old Chevy. Our old service manager had that painted on his shop floor.
Ooh, that's dedication.
It was awesome.
Yeah, but also the that S10 does pretty cool too.
Yeah,
does pretty well.
Yeah, that S10's an interesting build, from what I've seen. But
39-inch KO2s.
Yeah, snow stickies.
They call them snow stickies all the time.
But yeah, I just think it's super cool, and I'm into what he's doing with it. Like that, this was the whole concept, was he wanted a snow wheeler. And like that's it, basically.
Yeah,
that's all he built it for. So 38s on 16s, and there are actually Arctic snow truck tires.
That's pretty cool.
And he's calling them Icelandic snow tires.
And it probably the whole truck probably weighs 2,500, 2,600 pounds.
Like 32.
Man,
you know what grinds my gears?
That'd
about?
Be pushing it.
This is another one of those things that always bothers me about watching some of his content, but this one specifically, he keeps talking about, I think it's 3,200 pounds. I'm like, just weigh it, man.
Yes.
Just weigh it.
It's pretty easy.
I've seen like 6 YouTube videos where you're speculating the weight of this thing.
Yeah.
Just weigh it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so rad.
And it does great. It like,
it floats.
It floats so good.
That's the cool
like,
part.
That's what's really cool. Yeah. It just, because then he, like right after this trip, he does a trip in his disco.
Yep.
And it's just like the
opposite.
Instant difference of how heavy it is. It just sinks everywhere he goes.
But it just goes.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Low. It's because Land Rover has a good low range compared to everything except for a Rubicon. It has the lowest low range, factory low range out there. And enough power, I guess, is what is how you'd put it. But he's also on, that thing's also on tons and 38s also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
39s. That one's got the 39 inch KO2s as well.
So,
I think.
So, yeah, I don't know. I really dig the Series 3. That's cool all rig. I can say about it. And it is cool seeing it. I'm interested to see it on more snow trips and different snow conditions to see kind of what it does. Like, it'll be interesting to see what it does in, like, the powdery powder.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, it's so light, it's going to want to float, but it can't because of the powder. So does it have the power to push anything?
I don't know.
It might have the torque to do it. I mean, he was talking about gearing it lower at one point when he was doing the Arizona trip. But I think in this video, he's like, I don't know. I don't know that I need to gear it any lower. But he was talking about still having transmission issues.
Yeah, he needs a transmission for it. It pops out of gear, I guess.
Yeah.
But, what do you think, Luke?
It's cool.
Luke, fall asleep.
I
hate snow and Land Rovers are stupid, but
I don't know because I know nothing about Land Rovers. I don't know the difference between a Series 2A and a Series 3.
Mostly headlights.
So I was Googling that. And
just
I
the age. Yeah.
I still can't tell the difference. They look identical. it's cool. Iceland tires are pretty neat. You guys probably already talked about it, but the lady, the CEO of Ineos,
we didn't
was on another podcast.
Oh.
And she was talking about they have an outfitter, like they have their own branch in Iceland that like puts like 49s on them.
Dang. And yeah. They bought, but they, so they, there was like a Icelandic upfitter that they like contracted to help them develop the Grenadier, and then they just bought them.
Yeah. You know, I don't really love the Grenadier on big tires. I love the Grenadier.
It's good. I can't wait to see like the first one, you know, not the first one, but the first one that I see on, you know, like 40s around.
Yeah. I had one behind me in the Miata on the way here, and in the dark, they feel like they're really close to you when you're
when you're
behind
in a Miata.
You and you're in the Miata.
Well,
because it's just the whole grill is the entire car, back of my...
A stock Tahoe feels like it's inside of your vehicle when you're in a Miata.
Yeah. In a Miata, yeah.
But the good news, we got a house. Did I tell one of you guys that? We got a house, so we're really excited about that. Luke knows. So that was the good news of the week.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
Thanks. Cool. And then PRI was long, but good. Yeah. Very long.
Did you see anything cool, or was it just other than the not midget, might be midget? Car.
Some cool drag cars, a couple Indy cars.
Wasn't Beaterbaum there?
Yeah, I don't know what that is, but I did just learn today that that person has never taken their hood off before the show.
Yeah.
And that it has a big block with twin CT turbos, which was funny because I was in the booth talking to them about a project, and I just kind of like walked around. I was like, this car is kind of cool. And I just walked away. I didn't really know it was like a whole thing.
It was a huge deal.
Yeah, Fox Body.
Well, but he's like the premier first fastest Fox Body guy. And for the longest time, he was winning everything and he wouldn't tell anybody anything.
Yeah.
They'd roll up, you know, the 1320 guys would roll up and they'd be like, what do you got under the hood? What's the setup? And he'd go, it's a 1J with twins. And, Power Glide. And they'd be like, oh, okay.
So it's like a 600 cubic inch big block with
right. But he was like an early big block guy, and so there was a whole lot, like his front suspension was all completely handmade. It's not a kit, it's not parts.
That's
it's
cool.
All a bunch of different conglomerate stuff. And the same thing with the rear. And he kind of has had a come to Jesus in the last year or so where he's like, you know what? I'm very fast, and there's so many people who want to be very fast, and like, why would I not help?
Yeah,
he's like, I'm a big enough internet person now that I'm not having to make 10 grand by winning this race. He's building race cars, he's doing all kinds of stuff, and his life is good. So his joke was that he brought it there, and he's going to bring it back to PIR next year.
PRI.
I do it every time. PRI next year.
International Race.
Yeah, I know. That's what gets me wrong. He's going to bring it back next year with a lift. He's trying to find a lift sponsor. So
God.
He said they caught some guy under there with a tape measure under the rear of the car.
That's awesome. So yeah, bunch of drag cars. There's a lot of race cars there, which is really cool. But I think that's about it.
Cool.
Yeah, I don't know. PRI is cool. You would really like PRI because a bunch of cool cars like that are actually Luke obviously would too. Race car, race car, race car.
I like race cars.
A lot of drag cars, a lot of cool performance parts. You see all the, like SEMA, you see people walking around that are car celebrities. But at PRI, you see race people.
Yeah.
You see drag race people. You see no prep people. You see IndyCar drivers. You see NASCAR drivers.
Really?
Like, they're just there.
Any rally cars?
No.
No drift cars?
There was a couple Formula drift cars, Formula drift cars, but not, it's not a thing for them.
Yeah. I saw a, Instagram post that it was like Graham Rahal, Tony Stewart, Connor Daly, like a bunch of IndyCar people all just like having a round table. I was like, that'd be pretty cool to like just listen to for a minute.
Just fly on the wall.
The other thing I got to do twice, luckily, was go to St. Elmo, which is like this famous place in Indy where like all the race car people go. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool. I was pretty like
excited. Have some shrimp cocktail?
I did.
Eileen loves the shrimp cocktail there.
It's weird. I don't like shrimp, but it's like the thing you have to do, so I did it twice.
World's famous.
When you go like shrimp, when you go with a group of people and they're all like, you got to get the shrimp cocktail. You're like, well, I already had it. You got to get it again. And I'm like, you know what?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll have one. If you guys
me into it.
If you guys ever watch Parks and Rec, mm-hmm. where they go to St. Elmo's and Jerry gets confused for Newt Gingrich.
Yeah. I forgot that was a thing.
That's at St. Elmo's.
Yeah.
Yep.
Pretty great.
Classic Jerry.